And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Japan Lutheran Church held its 18th General Conference online on April the 29th this year, after a year's delay due to the COVID-19 pandemic. During the conference, the NRK elected the Reverend Tatsumi Yoshida as the church's new president. "We, as part of the body of Christ, will serve the Lord and pray for God's wisdom and guidance as we utilize the leadership and talents of these servants," President Yoshida said of himself and other newly elected executive committee members. "I would appreciate it if you would keep us in your prayers." Prior to his election, the Reverend Yoshida served as vice president of the NRK. He succeeds President Shin Shimizu, who was first elected to the position in 2014. President Yoshida will also continue to serve as pastor of Sapporo Chuo Lutheran Church. The International Lutheran Council, the ILC, sent greetings to President Yoshida on his election following the NRK's recent convention. "It is an honor to congratulate you," writes ILC Chairman Hans-Jörg Voigt and General Secretary Timothy Quill. "We are keeping you in our prayers, beseeching our Lord to grant you wisdom and strength to lead your church during these very difficult days. It is important to courageously face today's spiritual, cultural and political challenges with the confidence and certain hope that can only be found in Christ Jesus and the Gospel. United in our commitment to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions," the letter continues, "we look forward to working together joyfully in making a united witness to the Gospel of Jesus Christ as we encourage and strengthen one another in preaching the pure Gospel clearly and boldly to the entire world." During its convention, the Japan Lutheran Church chose a new theme for the coming triennium: "Love our neighbor churches as we love our church," drawing on Romans 15:2. "Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up." To that end, the church also adopted the following action points: to reflect on why our congregations were assembled by God and how we can serve Him, to cooperate with each other, and to walk with people who face difficulties, such as those who are impacted by natural disasters and the pandemic. Bishop John Henderson of the Lutheran Church of Australia, the LCA, has announced that he will not be seeking re-election at the Church's Convention of General Synod later this year. Bishop Henderson was first elected to head the LCA in April 2013. He was also the first leader of the Australian Church to hold the title of bishop, as the same convention which elected him also voted to change the title of synodical head from president to bishop. He was re-elected to a second term in October 2018. Bishop Henderson formerly served as vice president of the LCA from 2006 to 11, and as a member of the General Church Council from 2003 to 2011. He also served as principal of the Australian Lutheran Council from 2009 until his election as bishop. He was first ordained in 1982. In addition to not seeking re-election, Bishop Henderson has announced his intention to retire from active pastoral ministry. The next steps in the search for a new bishop will take place in July 2021, when delegates to the General Pastors' Conference will nominate candidates for the position of bishop. Nominees with at least 25% of the vote at the Pastors' Conference will be added to the slate for election at the Convention of General Synod, which is scheduled for September the 28th to October the 3rd in Melbourne. Candidates may also be nominated from the floor under a special provision. The legal age to marry in England will be raised to 18 under government plans to clamp down on forced marriages, the Justice Secretary has signalled. Robert Buckland said it was no secret that he believed the minimum age to be married should be lifted to prevent the misuse of parental consent in some religious communities. Mr. Buckland added that while parental consent for under 18s had been intended to protect young people from making ill-advised life choices, he believed it was now often being used to commoditize marriage and to propagate what I think is child abuse. The issue has been thrown into the spotlight by Sajid Javid, the former Chancellor, who has put forward a backbench bill to end a rule that allows 16 and 17-year-olds to marry with their parents' permission. This currently applies in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, while in Scotland, the legal age to marry is 16. Official figures show that 43 teenage boys and 140 teenage girls were married with parental consent in 2017, although campaigners warn that this may not capture those who married in non-legal religious ceremonies. Mr. Javid said research showed that most of these unions were coerced or forced for cultural and religious reasons, and that raising the legal age to marry remained one glaring thing that stands out in tackling the situation. Asked about the former Chancellor's bill, Mr. Buckland told Times Radio, "It's no secret that the principle of the need to protect children and young people is very much at the core of my thinking, which is why I do believe that the age of marriage should be raised." There are too many examples, I'm afraid, of the mechanism of parental consent, which of course was originally designed to protect young people from making perhaps ill-advised life choices, being frankly misused to commoditize marriage and to propagate what I think is child abuse. Asked again about raising the legal age to 18, he said, "That's certainly what I believe. It puts us in line with other countries as well. We are world leaders in child protection. Our legislation is among the best in the world. I think going this stage further will again reinforce the work that we have done in England and Wales to protect children and young people. That has got to be a good thing." Civil wedding and partnership ceremonies will be able to take place outdoors for the first time in England and Wales from next month. Laws for approved premises, such as hotels, currently require the ceremony to take place in an approved room or permanent structure. But such venues will, from July the 1st, be able to host a whole event outside under the move to legalise outdoor civil ceremonies. Justice Secretary Robert Buckland said, "A couple's wedding day is one of the most special times in their lives, and this change will allow them to celebrate it in the way that they want. At the same time, this step will support the marriage sector by providing greater choice and helping venues to meet demand for larger ceremonies. The change will benefit almost 75% of weddings that are non-religious and take place on approved premises, as well as civil partnerships, according to the government. It will be welcomed as a boost for the wedding industry after the hardships of the COVID-19 pandemic. The law change will be introduced for a statutory instrument, meaning a vote will not need to take place. Meanwhile, a minor relaxation of coronavirus restrictions in England will see the 30-person cap for weddings lifted from Monday. Venues will instead be asked to limit numbers based on space and to enforce social distancing measures, including the wearing of face coverings indoors. The German military got its first rabbi in over a century on Monday with the inauguration to the post of a Hungarian-born Zsolt Balla at a synagogue in Leipzig. The German government in 2019 approved a proposal by the Central Council of Jews to restore religious counselling for Jews serving in the armed forces. "This was unthinkable for decades and still can't be taken for granted," the head of the Central Council, Josef Schuster, said. "That's why we all have a reason to be happy and grateful today." During World War I, many Jews fought for Germany and dozens of rabbis are known to have performed pastoral work in the military. After Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933, the Nazis excluded Jews from all spheres of public life, later murdering millions in the Holocaust. Schuster said Balla would ensure Jewish soldiers can serve in the military in line with their religious rules and also teach non-Jewish soldiers about Judaism's traditions and holy days, thereby helping to reduce prejudice. The 42-year-old rabbi, who was ordained in 2009, said he felt incredible gratitude to be allowed to live in a country that faces its past but has also resolved to go forward and actively make the world better. According to the German news agency DPA, there are about 300 Jews in Germany's 180,000-strong Bundeswehr, about half the country's military belonging to a Christian denomination, while 3,000 are Muslim. The German army already had only Catholic and Lutheran chaplains, and there are plans to introduce Muslim religious counselling in the future. A Christian baker from Colorado has been fined after refusing to make a gender transition cake, as supporters claim he is being targeted by LGBT activists. Jack Phillips violated the state's anti-discrimination law by refusing to make the birthday cake for lawyer Autumn Scardina, a transgender woman, the state judge ruled in the case. Phillips famously won a partial victory at the US Supreme Court in 2018 for refusing to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. In last Tuesday's ruling, Denver District Judge A. Bruce Jones said Skardina was denied a cake that was blue on the outside and pink on the inside to celebrate her gender transition on her birthday in violation of the law. When Phillips said he could not make the cake because of its message, Jones said the case was about a refusal to sell a product, not compelled speech. He pointed out that Phillips testified during a trial in March that he did not think someone could change their gender and he would not celebrate somebody who thinks that they can. The anti-discrimination laws are intended to ensure that members of our society who have historically been treated unfairly, who have been deprived of even the everyday right to access businesses to buy products, are no longer treated as others, Jones wrote. The group representing Phillips, Alliance Defending Freedom, said on Wednesday that it would appeal the ruling, which ordered him to pay a $500 fine. The maximum fine for each violation of Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act is $500, but it was not clear from the ruling if the fine was for the two attempts that Skardina made to order the cake, or just one. In this case, an activist attorney demanded Jack create custom cakes in order to test Jack and correct the errors of his thinking, and the activist even threatened to sue Jack again if the case is dismissed for any reason, the group's general counsel, Christian Wagoner, said in a statement. Radical activists and government officials are targeting artists like Jack because they won't promote messages on marriage and sexuality that violate their core convictions, the statement added. Ms. Wagoner said that the case represents a disturbing trend, the weaponization of our justice system to ruin those with whom the activists disagree. We will appeal this decision and continue to defend the freedom of all Americans to peacefully live and work according to their deeply held beliefs, without fear of punishment, she said. Skardina, an attorney, attempted to order the cake on the same day in 2017 that the U.S. Supreme Court announced it would hear Phillips' appeal in the wedding cake case that Phillips ultimately won. Skardina said she wanted to challenge the veracity of Phillips' statements that he would serve LGBT customers, but her attempt to get a cake was not a setup intended to file a lawsuit, Jones said. One of Skardina's attorneys, John McHugh, said the case is about how LGBT people are treated, not just what happened to her. This is about a business that is open to the public that simply says to an entire class of people in the community that your identity, who you are, is something that is objectionable, he said. The case started the day the Supreme Court decided they were going to hear our case. It was a very busy, very crazy day at the shop, Phillips said of the transgender cake to Fox News in March. In the middle of all this chaos, we got a phone call from an attorney in Denver asking us to create a cake pink on the inside with blue icing on the outside. He said he was told the cake would be two colors, a color scheme, a combination designed to celebrate a gender transition. We told the customer, this caller, that this cake was a cake we couldn't create because of the message. The caller turned around and sued us, Phillips told Fox News. This customer came to us intentionally to get us to create a cake or deny creating a cake that went against our religious beliefs. This customer has been tracking our case for multiple years. This case was just a request to get us to fall into a trap, he added at the time. Phillips previously won a case that was heard before the Supreme Court in 2018 after he refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. In a 7-2 ruling, the Supreme Court ruled that Colorado's Civil Rights Commission displayed anti-religious bias when it sanctioned Phillips for refusing to make a wedding cake in 2012 for Charlie Craig and Dave Mullins, a same-sex couple. Parents want New Jersey school board members to resign after voting to remove holiday names from the school calendar over fear of causing offence. The petition demands Randolph Township school board members and Superintendent Jen Faino to resign immediately, saying they clearly do not have the best interests of our children in anything they do. Earlier this week, Randolph Board of Education members unanimously voted to remove all holiday names off the school calendar, including religious holidays such as Yom Kippur and Christmas, at a meeting that drew more than 100 people on Thursday. Board members made the decision in an effort to mitigate any potential offence a group or person may feel in regard to holidays that celebrate certain historical figures or ethnic groups, while also maintaining that the board is not responsible for naming the holidays to begin with. It came after there was a backlash for renaming Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day. If we don't have anything on the calendar, we don't have hurt feelings or anything like that, board member Doreen Roche said of the controversial change. I don't think really it's the board's responsibility to be naming these holidays. Either take them off or just adopt whatever the federal and state governments are doing, board member Ron Conti said prior to Thursday's controversial vote. What did you just do? What just happened? One man exclaimed incredulously in an audio recording of the meeting, minutes and agenda. The petition, which has so far generated 1,400 signatures, reads, Jen Faino and all of the Board of Education members have disgraced our community and clearly do not have the best interests of our children in anything they do. They represent everything that is wrong in education today and are completely incompetent in every respect of their role. This petition is to gather support from all Randolph Township residents and Randolph School's faculty members in asking for the immediate resignation of Superintendent Faino and all board members, it states on Change.org. We will not allow our beautiful town to be taken over by woke cancel culture, one signatory, Frank Tomasilo, commented. History exists so we can learn from it, the good, the bad and the ugly, and you have now become part of the ugly. As an Italian-American, losing Columbus Day was bad enough, but as a Christian, losing Easter and Christmas is even worse, Michael Gennari, who also signed, said. Also, I'm a community with so many Jewish brothers and sisters losing their high holidays is a disgrace, he added, because the entire thing is absolutely insane. If you don't want to celebrate the holiday, then don't, but let us have the freedom to observe the holidays respected to our beliefs. Then we can have it in our own households, wrote Carol Raniero Reed. Cancel the council culture, wrote another respondent. Randolph Township School's Director of Communications, Matthew Foots, told Fox News that Superintendent Faino was not involved in the board's vote. In partnership with the Randolph Township School District, the Board of Education has always been committed to supporting diversity and inclusion amongst our students, staff and community, Fazio said in a statement. We believe an effective partnership can only be accomplished between the schools and the community through collective input from all stakeholders, involvement and communication with our constituencies, help us guide policy decisions and changes, and improve district protocols. We agreed unanimously that the change will be both inclusive and equitable. Although we have made these changes to the school's district calendar, our decisions to change the calendar titles will not impact the education of holidays as guided by the district's curriculum, he said. Last Friday, the town's website showed the district school calendar still had holiday names, but by Saturday, a revised version of the calendar had been published with the designations erased. The support and concern of the Randolph community is vital to the educational process, the Township's Board of Education website reads. We welcome the public to take time to interact with the Board of Education. Community members are encouraged to attend public meetings, express their opinions, ask questions, and communicate their needs as constituents. It has managed to survive the Black Death, the Reformation, and the Civil War. But now the idyllic village church of St. James the Less is under threat from council bureaucrats' plans for double yellow lines outside. It would limit access and make funerals, weddings, bell ringings and visits to graves difficult without incurring fines, said the Reverend Rosalind Lastacy, vicar of the church in Dorney, Buckinghamshire, near Windsor and Eton. She's being backed by the Bishop of Buckingham in a fight against the scheme to restrict parking on the quiet country lane leading to the Grade 1 listed church. Its very survival will be threatened by double yellow lines after 800 years of unrestricted access, according to its parochial church council. Mrs. Lastacy said parking in Dorney is so limited that if the plan goes ahead, church visitors might have to park a mile and a half away in the village of Eaton Wick, too far for many elderly members of the congregation to walk. The church lies opposite open fields on Leafy Court Lane, deserted when the Daily Mail visited this week, and beside relative newcomer Dorney Manor, which dates from 1440 and was used in the 2019 film The Personal History of David Copperfield. St. James the Less began its long history as the parish church in the 12th century, with an unusual brick tower added in Tudor times and a porch in the 17th century. It still has its Norman font and family pews from the 1600s. But all of its history will remain just that if Buckinghamshire Council parking plans keeps visitors away. Critics say the problem of parking on the lane outside the church was largely caused by an unusual surge in visitors to Eton College's nearby Rowing Lake during lockdown. This has been closed to the public as a result, to be reopened over autumn and winter. The parochial church council said the proposed double yellow lines will severely hamper access to the building, decimating congregation numbers and its ability to hold weddings, funerals and baptisms, ultimately forcing the closure of the 800-year-old community hub. Mrs. Lustacy said, to put these in would severely restrict the use of the church. We want to be clear, we must have continued unrestricted access as has existed for over 800 years to thrive and survive. She added the number of parking spaces needed varies depending on occasions, ranging from bell ringing practice to weddings, and there are no set times for services such as funerals. Mrs. Lustacy said the council's only attempt at concession to churchgoers' needs is suggesting unloading bays outside. She described unloading as an unusable concept for a funeral, for example. The Bishop of Buckingham, the Right Reverend Dr. Alan Wilson, said the proposals are a blunt instrument that will have catastrophic consequences for the church and its community, which views St. James the Less as a vital part of its identity. Paul Humpleman of the Parochial Church Council said if parking is restricted, it will probably result in our church closing. In pursuit of their campaign, the church vicar and bishop urged locals to lodge objections with the council consultation that has now closed. Campaigners say the yellow lines appear to have been proposed to stop occasional antisocial parking outside Eaton's Dorney Lake, which also lies off the same lane as the church. Buckinghamshire Council Steve Broadbent said, as a result of ongoing and escalating reports of antisocial behaviour and irresponsible parking in the area by the lake, a decision was taken to carry an informal consultation to gather local opinion and views on proposed works to alleviate the problem. We will make a decision on further action once these have been taken into account. And finally, during a wedding rehearsal, the groom approached Pastor Jamie with an unusual offer. Look, I'll give you £50 if you change the wedding vows. When you get to the part where I'm supposed to promise to love, honour and obey and be faithful to her forever, I'd appreciate it if you just leave that bit out. He passed Pastor Jamie a £50 note and walked away satisfied. On the day of the wedding, when it came time for the groom's vows, Pastor Jamie looked the young man in the eye and said, "Will you promise to prostrate yourself before her, obey her every command, and wish, serve her breakfast in bed every morning of your life, and swear eternally before God and your lovely wife that you will not ever even look at another woman as long as you both shall live?" The groom gulped, looked around, and says in a tiny voice, "Yes." Then leaned forward towards Jamie and hissed, "I thought we had a deal." Jamie put the 50 quid back into the groom's hand and whispered, "She made me a better offer."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.